John chapter 12, verse 23. If you need a Bible, raise your hand and one of our ushers will make sure you get one. This morning, I was actually nervous preaching because I felt like I haven't preached in such a long time. And so I couldn't wait, but at the same time, I hardly ever get nervous before I speak. John 12, verse 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains by itself alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world shall keep it to life eternal. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant also be. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." Let's pray together. Lord, we bless you, God. We thank you again, Lord, for our kids, God. What a gift they are to us. And we pray, God, that you'd help us to be faithful, Lord, and not just in raising them, God, but faithful to your word, Lord God. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us today, Lord. Father, release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us ears to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us today, individually and corporately as a body, God. Lord, we bless you. We thank you so much for this time, God. Seal in our hearts, Lord. Open us up, God. Change us, Lord. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. 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 Well, I actually had like 6 weeks to prepare this message. And as a pastor, you hardly ever have that much time, you know. And so I don't know if that's added pressure or anything, right? In other words, this message better be darn good, right, if it's 6 weeks old, you know, or in waiting. But before I get into that, I want to just take a step back and just talk about a little bit of church business here and then kind of move forward into the message. We are starting, obviously, our building fund campaign, okay? And you guys know, as you look around, we need to move, right? That's not a secret. We've been talking about this for actually a couple years now. And now there's actually some traction, and we're looking for a building. We are fairly close in a few venues right now, but we're still looking. We need to raise a lot of money. That goes without saying. Now, let me take another step here. I'm not going to talk about money for a while, okay? And I knew that this time was coming, I knew 2009 was the year to raise funds, and I understood it. And honestly, you know, kind of when I was figuring that out, I put a lot of stress on myself, you know. And a lot of people came up to me and says, "Pastor Sam, you look tired, you know. You look old. You look stressed, you know." And all of that was true. And thank you for those concerns, right? You know, choose better words next time. But I appreciate the concern anyway. I was putting some undue stress on my life, you know, as a result of this. I was putting a lot of pressure, and I bought like 6 books, you know, about how to raise funds for a capital campaign, and every time I try to read it, I just got this check, you know, in my heart by the Holy Spirit, and I just felt like, no, don't do it, you know. But I knew I had to do something, right, you know. And so I'd go and I'd try to read it, you know, I'd try to, you know, sit down and have my study time, and all of a sudden I just get this check, like, don't do it. And so, as a result, we're not following any kind of capital campaign program. We don't even know how to do that, right? You know, and the word that I keep getting from the Lord is provision. But I get provision, right? Which is provision, but it's provision. You know, and I just feel like the Lord just simply telling me, if I will just lay out the vision, God will provide. Right, and so I'm not going to ask you to open your wallet. I'm not going to say, oh, we're not going to do any of that kind of stuff. There's going to be an account that we're going to open up that's going to be specific for building fund. I know some of you guys have already given to that, and that's wonderful. And so, but I want you to start thinking about it in those terms. And so, on the envelope, it says other. The other is the building fund, right? And so, if you just check that, we know it goes to the building fund. And that's what we need to do. But if we just simply lay out the vision, God will provide. That's what provision is, right? It's for the vision. Pro meaning for. It's for the vision. And so we're going to kind of just leave it at that. I'm not going to share too much from the pulpit. You know, I'll let you know where we're at. You know, at some point in our giving accordingly. But we're not going to really spend that much time dealing with this, you know. And part of that is just my personality, you know. But part of that, I really believe, is the Lord, you know. And so you know that this is your church, right? And you know that we need to build something, right? And I want to make a promise to you, though, is we're not going to skimp in any way of ministry, right? We're not going to skimp in our missions. In other words, we're not going to take any money out of somewhere else to pay for something else. That's not how we do things here at SP, right? And so, you're going to hear about the needs as they come along. Periodically, you understand where we're at. I think right now in our bank account, we don't even have, I think we have roughly a little bit over $1 million, right? So that kind of gets us going a little bit, right? And that's over the years that we have basically saved money, you know, and knowing that this time was coming. And so that's kind of where we're at. I think it's close to 2 million. I don't know. Again, we're not, you know, unfortunately, we know what's there, but I don't know what's there, right? So, or some people know what's there, even, okay, any case, you know what I'm saying. And so that's kind of where we're at. And so I think as a goal, though, we need to raise, Stan, how much is it? Is it 20 million U.S., something like that, right? And so it's roughly about 20 million U.S. dollars. And that'll basically get us into a building that will secure us for hopefully the next 10 years. Right, you know, and so that's kind of a goal that's out there. Is it looking at you guys pretty impossible, right? You know, and I'm not saying you guys, just looking at how many people we have here, it's pretty impossible. But this is the year of the impossible, right? You know, so it seems like it's perfect timing. Amen. You know, and so we didn't plan that, right? It just happened to be that way and so whatnot, okay? So that's the last I'm going to say about that, right? So save your money and do all that kind of stuff. and we'll give you updates every once in a while. Now, I'm going to get into my message. My message today is called Three-Line Christianity. What is that? Well, you're going to find out what that is. Now, we use this word line, right, or line up, or, you know, we have all these different kinds of idioms, you know, when we talk about lining. Have you ever heard the phrase, don't go over the line? You know, in other words, you know, don't break the law or don't go above a certain limit that you have, you know, or we say line up. You know, everyone needs to line up, you know, get in order, you know, unify or whatnot. We use that term. There's another term called toe the line. In other words, get yourself ready. Put yourself right on the line and toe the line. Get yourself ready for something. When someone has really done something overboard, we say, hey, man, you know, you're out of line. In other words, you've exceeded, you know, your limit in what you can, you know, what I can take from you or whatnot. We use that term, you're out of line. We also have this thing, you know, where we say, you know, a lot of tough guys say this, well, this is where we draw the line. In other words, right, this means if you draw get over this line, I'm fed up with you. You know, you can't do this. You know, and then for the adventurous types, we have this phrase, cross the line, right? Cross the line or cross the finish line, right? You know, accomplish something. And so I've exhausted. You guys, throw me some line ones if you have some other ones. I thought long and hard, and this is about as many as I came up with. You know, but I'm talking about three-line Christianity. And I'll explain as I go along, right? And I believe that in our walk with the Lord, right, that we cross certain lines and certain barriers, right? And you may be sitting here today, you may be a first-line Christian. Nothing wrong with that, okay? And I'm going to explain as we go along. Some of you sitting here are second-line Christians, right? And then there's others here that are third-line Christians, right? And we're going to kind of go over a little bit of what this is, right? Three-line Christianity, right? First-line Christianity, or the first line that we cross. And so I just want you to, in a mental picture, just make a line, right? In fact, make three lines if you're taking notes, and we're going to go through each one. Line number one, this is a first-line Christian. This is depicted in Jesus' words. He tells his disciples, hey, come and see. Turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Verse 38 to 39. Actually, you have to go all the way up to verse 35. He says, again the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked upon Jesus as he walked and said, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and beheld them following, and he said to them, what do you seek? They said to him, Rabbi, which translated means teacher, where are you staying? And he said to them, come and you will see. Come and you will see. First line Christianity, come and see. Really simple. This is the definition of first line Christian. The definition is, I believe in the gospel enough to benefit from it. Okay? I believe in the gospel enough to benefit from it. Now, this is important, right? Because all of us, at some point, the reason why we came to the gospel was we had a need, right? It goes without saying. In the passage here in John, right, we see one of the disciples was actually Andrew. Andrew had a need. Andrew was walking around. He was actually a disciple of John the Baptist, and they were walking around, and they heard, you know, John say, this is the Lamb of God. You know, and all of a sudden, when they heard that, you know, Andrew was like, oh, that's the one? You know, there was a need within Andrew to find truth. There was a need inside of Andrew to align himself to something that was greater than him. And so when he heard this, well, he said, Jesus, where are you staying? You know, where are you going? And Jesus simply said, come and see. All right, come and see. You believe enough of the gospel, right, enough to benefit from it. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, we believe enough in the gospel to benefit something from it. You know, what are the benefits? Well, it keeps us out of hell. Oh, that's a good one right there, right? You know, we call this spiritual fire insurance. You know, we don't go to hell. You know, hell exists. I'm sorry. You know, I know people don't want to talk about it, but it exists. You know, it's written all over the scriptures. You know who talked about hell more than anyone in the New Testament? It was Jesus Christ. You know, and so there is a reality of an eternal damnation, of eternal darkness, right, that is made available. Originally, it was made available only for the fallen angels. You know, if you read the scriptures, right, it makes it very clear. It was prepared for his Satan and his angels. You know, but now we know that human beings actually can go to this place of eternal damnation. Right, and so when we believe in the gospel, right, we are separated from hell. We don't ever have to go to that place. You know, also we believe in the gospel enough to benefit from it, and that we get our sins forgiven. I mean, this is an amazing thing. You know, this is what really put me over the edge when I was thinking about becoming a Christian. Right, was the fact that I could be freed of my sins. Now, I wasn't a psychologist or kind of a touchy-feely kind of person, but I knew that there was a weight on me. You know, I didn't understand why, I didn't understand where it came from. I just recognized there was something on me, you know, and that when I met and when I met Jesus Christ, I knew that weight was gone, right? That was sin. You know, I had forgiveness of sins. And all the stuff that I had done, God had totally forgiven me, and I was able to walk in freedom. You know, some of us, we benefit in that we get in touch with something spiritual. You know, something that's out of this world. You know, and there's something about that. And this is not just the quest of the Christian. This is the quest of the world. You know, the whole world is looking for something outside of themselves. You know, I've been doing a lot of flying these days. You know, and I've watched almost every movie that Cathay Pacific has to offer. You know, in the last month, I'm not kidding, right? I'm bored to death on planes now, you know. And the movies I've been watching a few, but you know, have you seen that movie Twilight? You know, and then there's the TV equivalent True Blood. You know, like vampires are all of a sudden hip again, you know. But you know, you see these trends coming. You know, long before in culture it was UFOs. Remember, people were really into UFOs, and it was all about aliens, and all it even had comedies about aliens, and then dramas, and then horror movies. And now, you know, and it seems like every kind of season changes in others, but it's the same theme. It's about something outside of ourselves, out of this world, super being, right? And, you know, we had the whole superhero phase. Actually, still had that phase a little bit, right? Iron Man just came out, and you know, all these things. And now, again, something out of this world. You know, something supernatural, something spiritual beyond ourselves. And now we're in the vampire stage. You know, and then eventually that's going to phase out. We're going to get into some other stage. I don't know what else could be out there. You know, but we've seen culture, you know, and movies, you know, and they're a good indication of what people are thinking. Studios spend millions upon millions of dollars to try to connect with what people are thinking. You know, and the overall, you know, idea here is that people are thinking about something that's out of this world. And so becoming a Christian, you know, and believing the gospel gets you in touch with something that's out of this world. You know, something that's supernatural. We benefit from that. We also can benefit as a first-line Christian, you know, from community and friends. You know what I mean? I mean, the church in some ways is quite fantastic. You know, you could be a loner and a loser, you know, but people at church got to love you. You know what I mean? That's just like one of those things that, you know, as a disciple of Christ, you just have to receive, you have to be loved. You know, I know there's no loners and losers here, you know, those other churches I'm talking about, right? And so, but there's, you know, there's something to that, right? And there could be this incredible bond of friendship, you know what I mean? That occurs in the body. It's fellowship. The writers in the scriptures call it koinonia. You know, it's a spiritual bond that occurs, right? And that's, and we, as a first-line Christian, we benefit that way. We also benefit from the satisfaction of a seeking heart. You know, that we're seeking for something. Maybe you've studied religions and you've gone through, and then you meet Jesus and you sought after. You know, you finally found what you were looking for. You know, and that's kind of what Andrew was going through, right? He was a seeker. He was always looking for something. You know, wanted something beyond himself, wanted a passion, you know, a purpose in his life. And when Jesus came onto the scene and said, come and see, right, Andrew went, and he saw, and he stayed. And then, you know, the story, then he brought his brother Peter with him. You know, and then they brought their other friends, Nathaniel and others, you know, which basically made up the disciples, and they changed the world, right? This is first-line Christianity. Now, again, nothing wrong with that as a starting point, right? If you're thinking I'm criticizing first-line Christians, I'm not. I'm not, right? Turn to your neighbor, say, hey, good-looking. Nothing wrong with that, right? Just real simple, okay? If you get it there, I'm not criticizing first-line Christianity, right? It's a starting point. You know, we every single one of us, we all, right? We were there. We had a need. We needed something. You needed forgiveness. You needed eternal life. You needed some assurance of salvation. You needed something. And out of that need, you came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he set you free. Maybe you were addicted to something and you needed freedom. You know, and we found it in Jesus, right? And so there's nothing wrong with having needs, right? Even if you're a third-line Christian, you'll still have needs. You know, so there's nothing wrong with that. But see, that's simply a starting point. You know, it moves us on into something else. You know, again, right, if we're honest, we all came to Jesus because we had a need, right? We needed to get free, right? We needed to get healed. We needed to be forgiven. We needed purpose. We needed new life. We needed some community. We needed help. We needed God. And we came to the Lord Jesus, right? There was some sort of need, and we benefited from the gospel. I believe in the gospel enough to benefit from it, right? In this scenario, I get a lot, but I don't give a lot, right? This is grace, right? Grace, grace, grace. Unmerited favor. You get what you don't deserve, you know? And then this is the primary role or mode of the first-line Christian, right? Is you're just always receiving. You're just always receiving. That's okay, right? Again, as a starting point, right? Now, you guys got that line? Now, let's cross that line. Let's move to the next line. This is second-line Christianity. This is depicted in Jesus' words to his disciples, right? Before it was come and see, now it's come and follow. Turn to John chapter 1, verse 43. Same passage, down a little bit. Verse 43, the next day, he purposed to go forth into Galilee, and he found Philip, and Jesus said to him, follow me. Follow me. Right? We have come and see, now we have come and follow. Right? Come and see was, I believe in the gospel enough to benefit from it. The second line, right, come and follow is, I believe in the gospel enough to contribute comfortably to it. Right? I believe in the gospel enough to contribute comfortably to it. Now we understand, as we've been receiving and experiencing the benefits, you know, now we begin to realize that we're called to serve and to help. You know, as much as we're receiving, now we recognize we're called to be givers, you know, and to extend our hand and help, you know, people. Now the key to the second line Christianity is the issue is convenience, right? We believe in the gospel enough that we contribute comfortably to it. Right, we turn the corner a bit, Right? We went past the first line. We're in the second line. But the issue is convenience. Right? We will do it when it's convenient for us to do so. We may sometimes go out of our way to serve and to give and whatnot, but that would be kind of an anomaly, right? That's not normal. You know, that would be a special circumstance for us to actually inconvenience ourselves. You know, we set the boundaries, and for the most part, we live within them. This is a good Christian life. Again, nothing wrong with that. You know what I mean? We have a lot of friends, don't we? We know people, you know, that are good second-line Christians. They're moral people. You know what I mean? Like, they wouldn't curse, you know, nor, you know, cheat someone. You know, they'll always tell the truth, you know, just about. You know, they believe in the Ten Commandments. You know what I mean? They go to church regularly. You know, they pay their tithes. You know, and they're just good Christians. We need a lot of people like that. Oh, also, by the way, they're very nice, right? That's one of the characteristics of a second-line Christian. Just nice people, you know. And I sound very sarcastic saying that. I don't mean that sarcastically, right? We need a lot of good second-line Christians. You know what I mean? Good people, good fathers, good mothers, raise their kids in a godly way. You know, just, you know what I mean? You know, they're Sunday school teachers and they attend house church and, you know, I mean, all the good stuff. You know, they take leadership roles once in a while. You know, they come to retreat. You know, but this is a second-line Christian. They believe in the gospel enough, right, that they give comfortably to it. Right? And the key word is that comfortably. You know, again, this is okay. Nothing wrong with that. Turn to your other neighbor and say, hey, good looking. Nothing wrong with that. Right? You know, nothing wrong with the first-line Christian. Nothing wrong with the second-line Christian. I mean, these are just good people. You know, good Christian folk. You know what I mean? They probably memorized the Apostles' Creed, you know, unlike some people that I know. But they're just, I mean, just, you know what I mean? I mean, a good Christian life. You know, this is a second-line Christian. They're just, you know, comfortable giving at times. You know, something happens, and they're moved in their heart, and they'll give, and, you know, they'll sacrifice at times. You know, but again, they believe in the gospel, right, enough to contribute comfortably to it. That's the second-line Christian, the good Christian life. Now, you know what I'm getting to? The third line, let's cross that line. And some of us, we don't want a good Christian life. Right? I mean, let's be honest, right? You know, we don't want a good Christian life. What's the difference between a good Christian life and a good Mormon life? You know, I mean, everything looks the same in essence, right? Morally, you know, superior and all that kind of stuff. And now we get to the third line. And this is exemplified in Jesus' words. He says, right, come and see, come and follow. Now he says, come and die. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 12. We read that earlier. 23 says, Jesus answered them saying, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains by itself alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world shall keep it till life eternal. The third line, the come and die Christianity, is I believe in the gospel enough to give my life to it. To give my life to it. Right? I believe in the gospel enough to benefit from it. Awesome. I believe in the gospel enough to contribute comfortably to it. Even more awesome. And now we come to the third line, and I'm saying toe the line. Right? And we cross this place and says, I believe in the gospel enough to give my life to it, right? If you had any idea of what we're going for as a church, it's third line Christianity, all right? I'll just be very open with you, okay? If you feel like you need to find another church, God bless you, you know? The Lord be with you, and there's awesome churches all over Hong Kong, right? But at Solomon's Porch, what we're going for is third-line Christianity. You know, and I need to be very upfront with you as your pastor. You know, and I'm not saying that we're super spiritual. Don't read anything into that. But what I'm saying is, as a heart, right? You know, all churches have hearts. You know that, right? You know, Dean Sherman talked about that when he was here a few weeks ago. He said churches have personality. You know, churches have kind of an unspoken code, you know, whatnot. And a part of it, the church has a certain heart or a certain way that they do things, a way they move and flow. You know, and so at Solomon's Porch, what we're going after is third line Christianity. You know, and my heart, right, is that every single one of us, that we toe that line, that we cross that line. You know, I'm not saying, right, that you need to be a third line Christian right now. Every single one of us, come on right now, right? That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that's a progression. You know, there's nothing wrong with being a first line Christian. Especially if you've just given your life to Jesus, man, you enjoy the benefits. You're going to be enjoying the benefits for the rest of your life. You know, in this life, the Bible says, and then the life to come, right? You know, and so, I'm not going to push you into something that you're not ready for, but I want to tell you up front, right, that we're going after third line Christianity, right? That we're going to cross that third line, that we believe in the gospel enough that we give our life to it, right? That every waking breath, everything that I own, everything that I have, we give our whole self to the gospel. Because that's what Jesus gave to us, you know, and so this is what we're talking about, right? This is third line Christianity is living for the eternal. It's not living for the now or living for the temporal. It's living a life that's eternal. You know, it's living a life that goes beyond ourselves. You know, this is the heartbeat, you know, of this church and of the church. Now, I want to tell you, this is not just a Christian idea, right? I mean, let me read you a quote. This is Martin Luther King Jr., even though he was a Christian, right? He's speaking to a mainly secular audience. This is a speech given in Detroit, Michigan in 1963. This is what he says. He says, if a man hasn't discovered something that he will die for, he isn't fit to live, right? King said that, right? If a man has not discovered what he is willing to die for, and he says he's not fit to live, right? And so we're not just talking about a Christian idea, right? I mean, this is what the world cries out for. You know what I mean? You know, I mean, the world values sacrifice. You know, the world values, you know, heroism, you know, especially when it comes to the end. You know, I mean, how many of us, you know, you guys ever see that movie, The United Flight? Is it 19-something? You know, where those guys, you know, the plane was supposed to hit the Pentagon, you know, at 9/11. And these guys, you know, were on the plane and they realized that, you know, that the hijackers were going to, you know, hijack and kill and all these things. And so these guys got together and the very famous call that says, let's roll. Remember one of the guys said that and, you know, and he jumped on these guys and the plane landed outside of Pennsylvania. You guys were alive then, right? So no one's nodding with me here, right? It was only a couple years ago. Right, and but I mean, think about the movies made out of it, books made out of that, you know. I mean, just all kinds of stuff because even the world values sacrifice and values heroism, values a group of men, a group of people on a plane that lived not for themselves, but that lived for the safety of others, and they're heroes in the eyes of the world, right? So I'm not just talking about a Christian idea. Right? I mean, this is an idea that's seeped within the world. You know, people that are willing to die for something. Friends, this is kingdom living. This is kingdom generosity. This is kingdom glory. It's about living for something, and I should more specifically say, living for someone beyond ourselves. Laying our lives out there. It's a life dictated by vision. Right, it goes beyond that. This is what we're talking about, right? The third line Christians, they are dead men walking. You know, we know this is a phrase used in prisons. You know, when the guards basically make a pronouncement of the man who's about to be executed. You know, and as he's walking through the halls, they'll call out "dead man walking." You know, and they'll know that he is basically on his road to being executed. You know, for certain crimes or whatnot. You know, but I want to suggest to you that third-line Christians, that's exactly what they are. Dead men and dead women walking. dead to themselves, alive to Christ. Paul was a third-line Christian. He said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Right? He understood this eternal living and this understanding. You know, the third-line Christianity, third-line Christians, you know, they are serving, they're giving, they're living, especially when it's not convenient for them to do so. See, that's huge. That's what separates a second-line Christian and a third-line Christian. Right? The second-line Christian is it's what's comfortable, what's convenient for me. Right? The third-line Christian goes beyond convenience. In fact, most of them, it's actually very inconvenient for that person. Right? But they're dead. You know what I mean? You know, dead people are not into convenience. They're just dead. Right? Dead people just, you know, well, you can't say follow, but in this case, right? You know, servants of the Lord follow him. You know, they are constantly serving, giving, living when it's inconvenient for them to do so. They're constantly troubling themselves. You know, as a sermon series that we gave, you know, a few years ago, they're troubling themselves. They're literally living for the next life, not this one. Right? They're living for eternity. Right? Now, it doesn't mean that they're no earthly good. You know what I mean? They make an impact in this world, but they're not living for this world. You know, everything they do is based on God, right? Now, it doesn't mean you have to change your job and become a pastor or a missionary. That's not what I'm talking about, right? But God works for them in their job. In other words, they work for God in their job. They even choose jobs based on what God wants. They choose job locations based on what God wants. You know, let me give you an example of a third line Christian. It's actually our friend John Lee, who just moved to Korea. You know, God put something on his heart for North Korea. In fact, that happened while he was here in Hong Kong, you know, of all places, right? God put on John's heart, right, North Koreans, you know, as a Korean Canadian, you know, and next thing you know, as he starts seeking the Lord, and then God opens up opportunities for him to serve and inconvenience himself, you know, so he joins the board of CSW, Christian Solidarity Worldwide, you know, has fundraising things, paints pictures, right, because it's not his, it's God's vision now. That's enraptured him, you know, and he's got a nice life here in Hong Kong, you know, works at a good school as a teacher, you know, involved in church, you know, loves Solomon's Porch, grew here, got baptized in the Holy Spirit here, and you know, all these wonderful things, you know, but see, even his job, look, it's upon God. You know, and John figures, you know what, I think the best thing for me to do if I really want to continue on this vision is to move to Korea. And so he moves. You know, sad for us, we have to say goodbye to him, but he's just doing what a third-line Christian does. You know what I mean? I mean, that's just basic fare, you know? And the guy doesn't even speak Korean, right? On top of that, I mean, that's just, to me, that's the most astounding thing, right? I'm sure he's going to hear this, so sorry, John. You know, but that's, I mean, that's what we're talking about. Third-line Christianity. You know, now he didn't have to change his job and, you know, he didn't become a missionary to North Korea. But I want to suggest to you, he was always a missionary to North Korea. Because that was his heart. You know what I mean? You know, so it's not necessarily about changing your vocation or whatnot. Maybe it's really about changing your heart. You know, now, and he just kind of relocated himself a little bit somewhere else. And I'm telling you, in our church is full of third-line Christians. You know, talk to some of them. You get inspired by some. You want them to pray for you all the time, right? Because you know that's what it's all about. You know, they're just something about that. You know, they just want what God wants. You know, they're living for eternal. I believe in the gospel enough to give my life to it. You know, not just for a season, but forever. Right, to live for eternity. Right, that you cross the line and it's not your life anymore. It's God's life. You're saying, God, here I am. Right? Isaiah said, here I am. Send me. You know, and we're just saying, God, you got to use someone. You know, and this is always our motto at church. God, you got to use some church. You might as well use us. You know, you got to use someone. You might as well use me. You know what I mean? I mean, I may not be the best, but here I am, Lord. You know, send me. Right? It's a hard thing. You know, toe the line. Cross the line. Get over the line. You know, whatever the case may be. But this is a motto. Come and die. Come and die. And see, if you didn't figure it out, this message is woven in all through the scriptures. You know, earlier today we worshiped God. You know, worship, the Greek word for worship is a word called proskuneo. You know, proskuneo, the best definition or the word picture of proskuneo is actually a dog licking his master's hand, right? That's worship, right? In other words, a dog that has no life of their own and just simply at the side of the master, just licking his hand, waiting for the next order to be given. And boom, the dog moves. That's worship. That's what we just did. You know, or that's what the third line Christians just did, you know, or, you know, I'm sorry, we all did, okay? I don't want to, the worst, the backfire from this message is could be that we have a class system at church, right? And we're not, you know, on this mode, we're all communists, okay? And so we're all sons and daughters of God, and so I don't want you to be, you know, looking over us, so I think you're a second line Christian. You're acting like a first-line Christian right now, right? And so I don't want this to come into our, you know, vocabulary in a negative way. We'll just leave it at that, okay? And so you guys are adults, and you can figure that out, you know? But it's living for something that's bigger than us. It's living for the eternal. It's living for the kingdom of God, right? And so, you know, in that way, you know, money, right, is not an issue. You know what I mean? Because it's his. It's a mindset. You know what I mean? Time. You know, it's not an issue. Because it's his time. It's not my time. You know, our jobs, I mean, you just go on and on and on and on. This is what separates us, you know, in this. Let me read you this story. And, you know, I was thinking, Lord, you know, give me a good, you know, close, a good end here. And I was actually reading Time Magazine and came with this article. There's this guy named Yukio Shige, right? He's a retired detective. For the last 5 years, he's been patrolling these cliffs across the Sea of Japan called the Tonjibo Cliffs. You know, and basically, this is a very famous place where Japanese have launched over to kill themselves. You know, and so for the last 5 years, Shige, he's been patrolling these waters, these cliffs, especially, you know, two or three times a day, especially keeping his eyes on three specific points where many, many Japanese have launched over. You know, the suicide rate in Japan, 23.5 out of every 100,000 people, highest in the world. The United States, which is pretty high, is just 11 per 100,000, right? And so you're talking more than double. Can you imagine that? You know, and so Shige, because he is a third-line Christian, after he retired, he relocated himself, right, to the Tonjibo Cliffs, you know, and he patrols on his own. He set up an office, right, by the cliffs, pays his out of his own pocket $800 a month. You know, he prepares, he says the kettle is always beaming with tea and some mochi, you know. And so what he does is he, and over the last 5 years, he's talked out 188 people, right, to come down from the mountains, you know, come down from the cliffs. And he has a really interesting way. He just goes over there, and he's got a hat on, and he smiles. He says hello, you know, and he just simply talks to them. And you know, and every once in a while, he says, you know, life is pretty hard, isn't it? And sometimes he says people just start weeping, you know, the weight of all these things. Every once in a while, usually if it's a guy, it has to do with either unemployment or with bankruptcy or finances. You know, because those, you know, because man, work, you know, it's related, right? And so that's, we get our worth from work, you know. And so as a result of that, those are what's going to propel people to give up their lives and commit suicide. For women, you know, it's mostly an issue of depression or sexual harassment or whatnot. And so what Shige does, if it's a sexual harassment thing, he'll talk the woman down and he'll go to the office of the boss and confront the boss. I like this guy. This is a cool guy, you know what I mean? And stuff, and so I mean, and sometimes he pays out of his own pocket to help people, you know, and whatever is going on. He's talked down 188 people in the last 5 years out of his own dime, his own money, his own pocket. That's all he's done, right? He's a third line Christian. He's dead. You know what I mean? He exists to help others. You know, and The article didn't say he was a Christian or not, but I know he's a Christian. I just know he's a Christian. You know, as he's being interviewed at the end of the article, the interviewer is he had just gotten he's reading the letter about some guy, and basically the guy is saying, "Thank you for allowing me to see all the love that's around me." That's a very Christian thing, right? On top of that, he got a phone call, and on his phone, "Amazing Grace," right, was the ringtone, right? Definitely a Christian thing and stuff. And so, you know, I don't know. I've been to Japan a few times. I've never heard "Amazing Grace" anywhere, right? And stuff. So, you know, but I'm telling you, man, this Shige, he is a third-line Christian. You know what I mean? I mean, just lives for something outside of himself. You know, I tell you, his reward is great in heaven. You know, he just lives to help people. Can you imagine? Wakes up in the morning, goes out to the cliffs, and looks for people whom he can save. Wow, that sounds a lot like Jesus, doesn't it? That sounds a lot like Jesus. It should sound a lot like us, right? See, friends, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Let him challenge you into something, right? It's totally different. This is radical living. This is not just a good Christian life. This is a Christian life that changes the world, right? This is the Christian life that the world is calling out for. So, where are you today? Which line have you crossed? Again, right? If you're at the first line Christian, that you're just new to this, that's totally okay. That's cool. You know what I mean? Enjoy the benefits. Walk in these things in God. You know, but I tell you, I'm going to promise you something. There's a time that's going to come where there's going to be a line drawn right in front of you. And God's going to ask you to step over that line. Right? And then you walk into a second line. And now you start contributing and giving. You've received so much. You've experienced so much. Now you want others to receive and experience as well. And so you start giving. And you start giving your time in these things. You know, in second line Christian. But you have a comfort level. And we all have a comfort level. You know what I mean? Can you imagine if God told me, when back in 1992, when I gave my life to the Lord, that I'm going to move to Hong Kong and be a pastor. No way, man. You know, as my little girls say, "No way, Jose." You know, no way that's going to happen. You know, and so, I mean, but God kind of leads us, because that's what he does. He leads us. You know, and then we get to a point, and then one day, as we're comfortably giving and contributing because of the gospel, God's going to draw another line in front of us, right? And this is the third line, and he's going to ask you to cross over. And it's not going to be about being inconvenienced. It's going to be about, "Lord, I just give you my life. It just belongs to you." Now, see, the interesting thing is, we actually said that a long time ago when we first met Jesus. When we said, "Lord, I give you my life." And now God is just making you keep your word. He's fair that way, you know? And he's gracious. And he's not going to take you beyond what you can bear, you know? But in that time, he'll provide a way out. He'll provide an avenue. You know, in this case, where you can step over the line, and then it's about the kingdom, right? It's not about you. It's not about me, right? It's about what God wants, you know. And we totally give our lives to that thing, you know. Where are you today? You know. Now, instead of you making that depiction, let me ask you this: what would your calendar, what would your checkbook, and your close friends and family who know you say which line that you've crossed? See, it's one thing for us to say, "Yeah, I crossed that line a long time ago, man. Pastor Sam, you're preaching to the choir right now," you know, and stuff. But what does your calendar say? What does your checkbook say? What will your close friends and family say what line you've crossed? I think that's a little better picture what this is all about. Let's close our eyes. Third line Christianity, friends. If you're new to the faith, you've crossed that line, the first line, congratulations. Enjoy. God bless you. Maybe you've been in the faith for a little while now, and you begin to recognize, you know what, I think I need to contribute. Now listen very carefully. Contribute not because the church needs it or the body of Christ needs it, but because you need it. You've plateaued. And the way to grow is to give and to serve. It's really more for your benefit than anyone else's. And then a time comes where you're challenged. And you believe in the gospel enough that you give your life to it. It's dead man walking, dead woman walking. It's about God and the kingdom. This is Matthew 6:33 living. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Wherever line that's in front of you, I want to challenge you today. Toe the line. Toe the line. Cross over that line into the fullness that God has for you. The worship team is going to lead us in an appropriate song right now. I want to encourage you to go before the Lord and toe the line. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. If you sense the Lord speaking to you today about crossing that line, no matter what line it is, you know, you just really sense a challenge, not because of what I said, but it's the Spirit that's working within you. And you feel like, man, you know what? Yeah, I need to step up. I need to cross that line, whatever it may be. I just want to give you a moment today to do that. You know, maybe it requires you getting out of your seat and I don't know. But in some way, right, as a prayer, as a step, cross that line. Cross that line. You don't necessarily have to do it with your body, right? With your heart. Just cross that line. If you want us to pray for you, As you make this decision of commitment, raise your hand and we'll come and pray with you. But the worship team is going to lead us in prayer. Maybe this is something you're really struggling with and you just want some prayer. We'll pray with you today. So as Pastor Nate leads us and the worship team leads us, just lift your hand in the air. And someone will come and just minister to you for a season. Go ahead, Pastor Nate, just continue to lead us. Let's rise to our feet. Let's sing this as we close our service.
This is my design. This is my desire to honor you, Lord.
Grab someone's hand next to you. go across the aisle. Let's pray for one another. Let's pray for the brother and sister on the right and left of you. Let's pray whatever line that the Holy Spirit has placed in front of them, that have the courage to cross over. Whatever line it is. Let's pray in that way for one another right now. Thank you, Jesus. God bless, Father God. God bless my sister. Draw them to the line. So whatever line, let them toe the line, God. Let them cross over. Lord, we come humbly, God, and Lord, we step forward to that line, God. Lord, we're all in different places, in different spaces, God. Lord, what you expect from me is not what you expect from others here, Lord. And we understand that, God. But Lord, we also recognize, God, that you're challenging each one of us, God, in the level of our commitment to you. And so, Lord, whatever line that may be in front of my brothers and sisters today, God, Lord, give them the courage, the encouragement, God, to cross the line, to step into what you have for them, God, to step into something beyond themselves, Lord. Lord, would you do that in their lives right now? Just love them, God. Give them the strength to cross over. Lord, there are good things waiting for them there. Lord, I pray that you would bless this church, God. Lord, we know we need to raise a ton of money, God, but that's your business, God. Or if it's God's will, it's God's bill. And so, Lord, we just rely on your faithfulness, God, over our lives. Lord, draw us near, God. Lord, make us a church that's totally committed to you, God. Committed to advancing your kingdom, no matter what the cost, God. Committed to seeing the lost get saved, God. The broken get healed, Lord. Use us, we pray, here in Hong Kong, throughout Asia, God. Throughout the world. We love you, God. We bless you. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. Hug your neighbor. Say thanks for praying for me. If you cross the line, say thanks for praying for me. I crossed the line today. Please join us for some special refreshments. Thank you to our moms and dads. All right, have a great week.